We are in full swing now with building animal pens at this new house, and of course with packing. And I've been thinking about this as we are heading into the spring holy days. And I was thinking about how these holy days correspond with us moving. There is so much to do when you move, and it just feels like there is less and less time to get it done. You know, you would think it would be easier as moving so close. We're probably only, 6 miles away from 10 miles? Okay, 10 miles away from where we live now. But as we continue to prepare, I almost feel like it would be easier if we were moving farther away. We could just pack it all in at once and be done with it. But it got me thinking about how fast we are coming up to the spring holy days. And it got me then thinking about how these first holy days that God brings up are about looking at our lives and thinking about how we are doing in relation to the standards that God has set for each and every one of us. It can be tricky at times as we continue to live in this world that is growing darker to maintain our Christian lives spot-free and to have that persona. Let's jump right into the Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, Peter has this to say. He says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." Without spot and without blemish. What Peter is saying here is be diligent to be without sin in your lives. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul says this, Ephesians 5 and verse 27, "that he might present the church to himself, that is Christ, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Each of us are responsible to know what this means, to look through the Bible and understand what that means for our individual lives. And so that is what we're looking at today. Knowing whether our lives have spot, have wrinkles, have blemish. We know, brethren, that we all fail. But this is the time period where we start to take that extra time to examine, to see where we stand in relationship with God and his commands. And we use the scripture as the foundation of our exam. Now, Paul tells converted Christians that they must examine themselves before they partake of the Passover symbols. And he says to do this in a worthy manner. He warns very heavily against us taking the bread and the wine in an unworthy manner. We realize that the symbols that we are going to be partaking of on that night is important because they point to Christ and to his ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, it says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot." And this is why we carefully are supposed to look at ourselves. Because we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, who was perfect in all his ways as he lived here as a human being, dying for each and every one of us. And so now I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. We'll read a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. And Paul here is talking about the Passover evening. And he says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Christ warned about the end time that many would be asleep. Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." The title for my message today is Dokimazo. And when Paul tells us to examine ourselves here, in verse 28, the word that he uses is dokimazo. This word means to test, examine, prove, or approve something. It is used throughout the Bible to describe the process of evaluating or discerning something to determine its genuineness, its value, or its acceptability. This word is used in many other passages. And when it's used to indicate a positive outcome rather than a negative one. And so I thought I would give some examples in Scripture where this word is used to show how it should be applied as we examine our lives, giving this positive examination where we should be expecting a positive result. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, dokimazo, what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Strong warning there to make sure that we are examining, testing, looking. Galatians 6 and verse 4. "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." Often heard that in times past. We cannot get into the kingdom of God riding on the coattails of anybody else. It is individually up to us. It's not up to your parents, it's not up to your husband, your wife, it is up to each and every one of us individually. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 to 10. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Finding out. Ephesians 1 and verse 9 to 10. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ." And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts." Throughout these scriptures, we see these words being used. Test, prove, examine. Check it out. A lot of these scriptures that I quoted were written by the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. But brethren, they are talking about actions. Everything that they mentioned here is an action forward. It's not stopping and waiting to see what will happen, but it's rather looking at the things in our lives to see what we are really doing. To see if even the things which need to be fixed are there. When we find those things in our lives that we need to fix, we cannot become overcome with fear. We have to repent, and we have to move forward, continuing to test, continuing to prove, continuing to examine over and over and over. We are required to test ourselves for authenticity, to show God that we are who He wants us to be, or we are working towards who He wants us to be. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, it says, "But test everything, hold fast to what is good." You know, unless we are actively testing, proving, and looking, how will we be aware of who we are, of how we are doing? That is what is being said there. Test everything, and when you find that it's good, hold fast to that. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 to 8, it says, Romans 7 and verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking the opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead." But once we have knowledge, we are expected to use this knowledge. And it's supposed to grow within us, helping us to become more and more righteous, more pure, more of God's light shining in and through us. But again, this is a process. It's not a one-time thing that happens overnight when we become baptized. It's a lifetime of growth and of application, falling on our face many, many times so that we can continue to get up, continue to move forward, continue to look to God. And through all of this, we must remember that God is perfect. He is the one who has called each and every one of us and called us to make it as God beings. It is possible. But it's not always easy. And as I was writing this, I thought about how the Bible often talks about the process by which metals are tested to determine their purity and their usefulness. The Bible frequently uses refining and testing of materials as metaphors for the trials and the judgments that we go through, which lead to our purity. The refining of metals is used for the purpose of bringing the metal to its very best. You take iron and you continue to heat it up, it becomes stronger. When you heat up things like silver and gold to a very high heat point, the junk that is in them dross is removed, and the silver and the gold becomes pure and usable for things like jewelry and other useful things. And the Bible talks about this in the way of us being useful to God. So I thought I would go through some of these scriptures. In Psalm 12 and verse 6, we start at the very foundation. Psalm 12 and verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." The refining emphasizes the purity and the reliability of God's word, showing that it is free from error, free from falsehood. It is the pinnacle of truth, the one thing that we can put our absolute faith and our confidence and our trust in is found right here in each of our Bibles. It's not something that God just slapped together and was like, "Here you go. Have fun." No, it's his infallible word. It's the parts where we each live by, or supposed to live by. Proverbs 17 and verse 3. "The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." God tests our hearts through trials and tribulations in this life. That like gold, like silver, we become refined through suffering to become stronger, to become more pure. Not for the purpose of destruction, but for the purpose of becoming more useful to Him, to each other. Christ's statement in Revelation in verse 3 talks to the end time church, and his statement was to buy gold refined in the fire from him, because those people in the church at that time were inwardly looking at their own supposed riches instead of the riches from God. Zechariah 13 and verse 9. Zechariah 13, 9, "I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people." Have we reached the point in our lives individually where the first thing that we think of when we start to go through a test, through a trial, the first thing that we think, do, or say is, "Thank you, God, you are my God." And then we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in that. That is a process of purification and spiritual testing for each and every one of us, to see what our reactions will be when we go through the trials of life. Job 23 and verse 10. If anybody was tested sorely, it was Job. Losing family, losing property, losing just about everything that was his. What does he say? Job 23, 10. "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Job ultimately understood why he had to go through the things that he went through. And it was so that God could bring him into his family, ultimately, obviously he's still in the grave, and will be resurrected when his time is to be. But had God not made Job go through what he went through, or allowed him to go what he went through, would Job have made it? Would he have become who God needed him to be? I would say no. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6 to 9. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6 to 9. Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And why? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The testing of faith is for the purpose of showing it to be genuine, real, not made up. It's not for the purpose of our failure, but it is for the purpose and the expectation of ultimate success for each and every one of us. We can expect that we are going to go through the tests and the trials that we need individually. And we have to realize that God is allowing these trials to happen. But yet realizing also that he is there waiting for us to help us through our trials, to encourage us to come through them for the purpose of becoming more pure, more useful. And this is so empowering to realize. It can become our guiding light if we grasp onto the fact that whatever we face, it is for the purpose of us making it into the family of God. I'd like to read Psalm 34 and verse 4. Psalm 34 and verse 4. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." When we do as the psalmist suggests, we begin to see God working in our lives. But brethren, it takes experience. It takes living faith to do this. Theoretically, we can read the Bible. We can understand that these things can be true. But until we begin to live this way of life, it's just a theory. Once we examine and begin to trust the process and we start to lean into it, that's when we start to grow. And that is what I think that Paul is asking each of us to do. To examine our lives and to see just where we are with our relationship with God and Christ, to see where we have failure and sin in our lives, and to realize that while those things are wrong and should not be there, it's okay to be human and to realize that we have to continue growing. To realize that we are going through this life because God is working through each of us to reach that ultimate spiritual maturity through Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Because after Paul tells us to examine and to make sure that we are examining in a proper way, what does he say? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. When we have done the proper examination that we each need to do, we can partake of the symbols of the Passover in a way that we have not done so before. Brethren, the spring holy days are almost here. Let's not delay. Let's take this time to examine carefully, to see where we are each. Wish you all a lovely spring holiday season. I'm sure we'll get to talk to you again before then, but